Welcome to Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage. I'm Greg.
And I'm Erin. We've been married for 31 years. We're marriage counselors and we lead the marriage team here at Focus on the Family. Today, Greg, we're going to talk about something that is often difficult for couples to talk about. But it's something so important for couples to talk about.
Money?
Not money. What's the other?
Death?
No.
Finances?
No.
Sex. Oh, gotcha.
Yes, because sex is something that impacts a marriage quite a bit. God created it for married couples to enjoy, yet often there's difficulties, and so often couples don't talk about the difficulties, or they don't talk about it at all.
Right.
So today, we're going to talk about all of it.
We're going to talk about sex. And, you know, I remember how difficult it was to find alone time when our kids were young. You know, one of my favorite stories about trying to be intimate when you have young children happened. Remember when we showed up to this house for dinner? This is a family that we had met at church. We didn't really know them. So We show up, knock on the door.
Oh, yes.
They open the door, and as we greet one another, they introduce us to their young family. So they had a baby as well as maybe a five-year-old daughter, and clearly big tears in her eyes. Something had gone on. Maybe she'd gotten hurt or I don't know. But all I remember is when they introduced her, she seemed very timid. She's crying. So I just remember got down kind of on one knee and I said, "Hi, you know, so good to meet you. I'm Greg. And, you know, are you doing okay?" Yeah, I'm just trying to be nice and trying to welcome her and say hello. And so she said, "Well, I'm crying because I got in trouble." And I went, "Oh, man. When I was your age, I got in trouble all the time. What'd you do?" And I'm kind of glancing up at the parents who seem to be a little nervous, not sure what she's going to say. And so I just thought it was funny, like, oh, I know what that's like.
Yeah.
Not sure what your kids are going to say. And so, you know, "What'd you do to get into trouble?" And she said, "Well," she goes, I broke a rule." I said, "Really? Which one?" She goes, "I'm not supposed to hit my little brother." And I said, "Oh, man, I had a little brother. That's such a hard one." I said, "Are there other rules that you break?"
I'm sure those parents were dying by this point. Yeah.
And she goes, "Yeah." She goes, "I broke one the other day." She goes, "The rule is I'm not allowed to bother mommy and daddy when they're in their room wrestling." And just looking up at her parents, they were so horrified that she's telling about their wrestling, which is code for having sex, of course. But it just made me laugh.
That's so funny.
And they were humiliated. I thought that was the best story I've ever heard. So I instantly said to her, "Yeah, that's a great rule. As a matter of fact, Erin and I are going to start that rule too in our house." And so, because it can be very difficult being intimate, having sex, you know, for a whole lots of reasons, that can be challenging, especially when we have young kids. And to your point, we're going to be talking about sex. And to do that, we've got some fantastic segments coming up later on. We're going to answer a couple listener questions around sex. And this topic is something that many people are wondering about. So we'll spend some more time answering your questions.
But first, we had a great conversation with our dear friend, Dr. Julie Slattery, about how you can fight for your sex life as a couple. She's an author speaker with some amazing insights. Let's listen to the conversation we had with Julie. I love that you refer to sex as a celebration and that there's rejoicing going on in heaven as a couple experiences sex. Can you say more about that?
Yeah. Boy, I don't know if I ever said there's rejoicing in heaven when we
experience. I feel like you did. I just, every time I think of this celebration.
That's what you heard.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I just see.
There's cheering.
My mother in heaven is cheering.
No.
Oh, that's creepy.
I don't want you having that picture. I didn't put that one in your head.
Never be intimate ever again, if that's true.
I think what I have said, and we can even see this in the Song of Solomon, is that when a couple has sex, God is saying, "This is good. You know, this is what I created this for."
Yeah.
You know, I'm the one, he's saying, that gave you the anatomy to have sex and the hormones to experience pleasure and the dopamine. Like, that was my idea. You know, I'm the one who created the climax, and this wasn't Satan's idea. And this is where it belongs. You know, Like, I feel like when we read Song of Solomon, the beginning of chapter 5, where the husband and wife are intertwined and sexually and they're enjoying each other, kind of speaking as the chorus says, you know, eat, friends, drink, imbibe deeply. In other words, this is a good thing. Mm-hmm. Go for it. Mm-hmm. I want you to enjoy this.
Mm-hmm. Celebrate.
Yeah. So I don't know if your mom is in that celebration, but
yeah. I hope not.
Can we not ever say that
yes.
again?
There please. You go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you kind of liken it to throughout the God, Sex, and Your Marriage book, I'm always referring back to our covenant with God. Mm-hmm. And if these elements are true in our covenant with God, then how does that play out in marriage? And in our covenant with God, we are commanded to celebrate our love for him regularly. We're called to be joyful, to praise him. When we gather as the bride of Christ every Sunday, it's a worship service. Mm. It's not just about the sermon. It's the body, the bride of Christ, lifting up our souls and saying how much we adore God. It's celebrating our love. So there's a parallel there that a covenant is hard work, it requires sacrifice, but it should also have joyful celebration as a regular component of it.
That must be where I got that from.
Okay, probably. I'm glad I could clarify that.
I'm like, she said something about there rejoicing.
Yep.
Well, Julie, so for that couple that's really feeling frustrated, so maybe they're ready to give up, they've just settled for kind of that less than satisfactory sex life. Kind of what's the first piece of advice that you could give them to help them, you know, really move into more of that journey mindset and just to really be able to enjoy that part of their marriage?
First of all, I would say you have to be convinced that it's worth fighting for. Because there are a lot of couples who would just say, well, you know, this is good about our marriage, but that sexual piece, whatever, it's just not going to be good. When we look at the wider culture related to sexuality, we see this huge spiritual battlefield around sexuality, around what's pure, what's good, everything. It's so twisted today. And if you're a parent, you really resonate with that because you're concerned for your children or your grandchildren. But there's one place where we really get to fight that spiritual battle. And it's within our own sexuality, within our own marriage. And, you know, one thing that really just struck me is when I become complacent about my own brokenness, I become complicit in Satan's destruction of sexuality. And so even though my marriage may feel like just a little tiny piece of turf, it's a turf that I get to fight for and say, you know what, the enemy has no place here. And as much as he would want to erode faithfulness in my marriage and steal my joy and turn sex against us instead of something that is uniting us, like, I'm just not going to stand for that. I'm going to fight for that. And so I think we need to have a little bit of that fire in our belly because it takes work to fight for it. And it's vulnerable. And you have to go places that you don't want to go. That might require hard conversations, maybe things from your past that you would rather have tucked away. You have to walk through some hard things, but seeing the spiritual terrain is what will give you the energy and the gumption to kind of say, this is worth it.
Yeah, and I love the advice of, you know, fight for this. Mm-hmm. Like I remember counseling an older couple, and they had literally both had said, yeah, we kind of put that to death. Like, we had a funeral for our sex life. It's kind of gone.
Yeah.
We went to the funeral. We celebrated, you know, like a literal funeral.
Aww.
And I just remember thinking, I don't feel like that's the bad. Like, it didn't feel like they had any fight in them. And I think that's a great reminder that this is something that won't just happen. It's something we have to fight for.
And what we're fighting for is not that our bodies are going to be perfect or, you know, even as you age, there are some losses that you do need to grieve and say, okay, our bodies don't work the way they once did. Mm-hmm. But what you're fighting for is freedom. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus came to set us free. And for a lot of couples, there's no freedom. Mm-hmm. They're still clouded with shame. They don't know how to resolve conflict in this area. They don't know how to honor each other. They don't know how to enjoy. And so if that's the case, then, you're just conceding ground to the enemy instead of saying, no, you like, I'm a child of God, and he is going to have his truth over every aspect of my life, including this one.
That's so good. And part of that, like you're saying, fight for it, is that couple who one or both have had trauma or addiction, that you're owning your portion and seeking healing. But then on the other side, that spouse often gets frustrated waiting for the healing. And part of fighting for it is being that spouse that is waiting well as your spouse heals or as you heal, and then continuing to communicate and pursue this deep, deep covenant. I want to say covenantal, but I don't think that's a word. I want, you know, that we're fighting for that covenant that God gave us. And it's so much more than a piece of paper.
It is. And I would also say, Aaron, that waiting is never meant to be passive. So there's something God wants to do in your heart in the waiting. And I've seen this happen. For example, a couple that I know, the woman has had a lot of severe sexual trauma, and the husband is, as you would say, waiting for her to be healed, to be recovered. And so sex has been, as we would define it, been pretty absent for a while. But what God is doing in this husband's heart is teaching him how to love his wife like Christ loved the church and lay himself down for her.
Sacrificially.
Yeah, and that, and really having to rethink all the things he was told that, again, even from the church, that you will get all your needs met in marriage. And really having to go back to the scripture and say, wait, is that what the Bible says?
Right.
Yeah. And what is the character God wants to build in my heart? And where are the lies that I would have just continued to live by had we not had this interruption? And the same is true if your spouse is dealing with an addiction or you're recovering from a betrayal. There are things in both of your hearts that the Lord wants to do in that season.
It's so beautiful because none of it is wasted.
No.
And it's not passive. It's active. I love that.
Well, I so appreciate Julie's wisdom, and her passion is infectious. You know, she loves to help married couples really discover the amazing gift of sex. And Aaron, I really appreciated how she put it, that couples need to be actively fighting for their sex life. So I thought maybe let's talk about how. How would you encourage a couple to really fight for their sex life?
Well, I would say, you know, kind of doing an evaluation of in this season in our sex life, what's going well, what's not. And because so often you and I talk about this frequently on when things aren't going well, how innately we often go to very negative reasons why we're not having sex. And so I would say start there, you know, even just rating your sex life 0 to 10. Zero dissatisfied, 10, I'm totally satisfied. You know, each of you doing that in a private conversation, because I'm staring at my husband, and if I had to guess, he's about to say, okay, you answer that. But this is a conversation for just the two of you.
Gotcha.
And if you're listening to this podcast, like driving in your car and you have kids in the car, you know, you can have this conversation later with your spouse. And, you know,
you can talk about wrestling later, see?
In this season, especially, because if you're in a season of your, you know, trying to get pregnant or dealing with infertility, both, you know, dealing with infertility can very much impact a couple.
Absolutely.
And, you know, or maybe you're in the season of you have little kids or you have teenagers in the house. All those things impact intimacy in marriage. And so it's going, okay, what can we do? If, you know, 0 to 10, and how can we raise that number?
Yeah.
And what would improve what's happening? Or where are we dissatisfied? Why did you rate it a 3? Just being curious, not judging what your spouse responds with.
Yeah. And just listening to what you're suggesting, I really like it. And maybe even think about maybe the first place to go is, what do we like? What's working well? And again, even in the midst of a frustrating season, So maybe you're wanting, you know, more frequency or whatever. Mm-hmm. There's always some things that we can pinpoint to say, mm-hmm. hey, I appreciate this about our sex life or mm-hmm. Whatever. I mean, start off by praising each other, thinking about the relationship, what is working.
Yeah.
But to your point, then, you know,
so you're saying use the sandwich method, positive, negative, positive,
yeah.
positive growth area, positive.
I know you're hungry right now, so I imagine that's why the sandwich
yes.
comes to your mind.
Well,
but it is good because it's so, this is an area where it's easy to get very negative, mm-hmm. get very frustrating because mm-hmm. we've got two different people, mm-hmm. husband and wife, mm-hmm. who both will have different ideas and desires and what's working, not working. And so to start with what is working and then yeah. talk about how might we grow that.
Yeah. Often within my private practice, I will talk to couples about sex, but specifically talking about things that are important to talk about. Things like, you know, frequency. What's the preference for each spouse? Sometimes couples don't talk about that and they don't know that one spouse is hoping for, you know, this many times a week or a month, and this spouse is thinking that's way too high. How do we find a win-win, yeah. even in our sex life, as far yeah. as frequency, as well as talking about initiating? Who's initiating? How do we indicate, hey, I want to have sex? How do we initiate that? And how do we also say no if it is not a good time for either one of the spouses?
Yeah.
And how yeah. do we say no, not rejecting the person, your spouse, not rejecting your spouse, but saying not right now? And then what do we do?
Yeah.
Do we have a rule on the table as far as if I say no, well, then I'm going to be the one to initiate within a specific length of time?
Yeah. Yeah, because you're right. I mean, there are going to be times where one of us will want to be intimate. Maybe mm-hmm. the other doesn't want to do that right then and there. And so there is a saying no, which, I mean, easily feels rejecting. And
right.
It's easy
well,
to
it's
go,
vulnerable.
Well, don't take that,
yes.
that personally. So even how do we set boundaries, but how do we receive that boundary? Because
yes.
all that is going to impact the relationship, especially, mm-hmm. you know, making sure that we're not you know, misusing scripture. You're,
right.
well, hey, Aaron, no, your body is my body. And you, I mean,
yeah.
really respecting mm-hmm. both people within
yes.
that. And they
yeah.
both have to matter. And sex should never be weaponized
yeah.
is either a way to go, no, you, it says scripturally, because that's really not what that scripture
yeah.
is saying.
Yeah. Well, and even so, let's say one of the spouses consistently is saying no, and one spouse is feeling very frustrated. How do you have that conversation around what's happening, the
yeah.
dynamic that's happening? Because what might happen is the spouse that's maybe offended or feeling rejected will go down this rabbit trail of, oh, she doesn't think I'm attractive
yeah.
anymore. He doesn't
yeah.
think
they
I'm attractive.
Personalize
I'm not
it.
Enough.
Mm-hmm.
You yeah. know, what's going
Which
on?
Makes sense.
Yes.
I get it.
Versus bringing that to the other spouse, just going, hey, I'm noticing this pattern. Can we talk about it?
Yeah.
And just have a healthy dialogue where, you know, if it's helpful to step into speaker-listener roles, hey, I'm going to speak first if you'll listen, and then you speak and I'll
yeah.
listen. Just to really slow the conversation down so it doesn't escalate or you get stuck in your cycle. Just going, okay, something's going on here. What is it?
Yeah.
Let's work together to figure it out.
Well, and I mean, the theme of what we're saying really is become awesome at talking about sex. And that's one of the healthiest things to do,
mm-hmm.
not just the act of having sex, but our ability
yes.
to talk about that. So one of the things that we have a few conversation starters. So we'll put a link in the show notes to
Ooh,
those.
We could even take those conversation starters on our date tonight.
Oh, hey, with our 16-year-old daughter.
Oh, that's right.
She'll
coming.
Be there. I mean,
so
I don't mind to embarrass
we'll save
her that
the
way.
Conversation starters to another time, a date when it is just the two of us.
Yeah. Well, beyond the conversation starters, if you want to go deeper on how you and your spouse can really fight for your sex life, get Julie's book. It's called God, Sex, and Your Marriage. And we have it here at Focus on the Family for a gift of any amount.
Yes. And all the details will be in the show notes.
Well, now we're going to move on to our weekly Q&A, and this is the part of the show where we answer your burning questions about marriage. Today we have an extra long Q&A, so we're going to tackle two questions instead of one.
That sounds like fun. So it's even more important. Please send us your questions. You can click the link in the show notes or go to crazylittlethingcalledmarriage.com and click the button on the side of our show page to leave us a voicemail. And if your question gets answered on the show, we're going to send you a copy of our book, Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage, 12 Secrets to a Lifelong Romance, for free, as our way of saying thank you for listening and reaching out to us.
Well, our first question comes from Jamie. So let's listen to the voicemail that she sent in, read by a voice actor.
Hey, Greg and Aaron. My husband and I have been married for about 12 years now. And when we were first trying to have a baby, we found out that we had male factor infertility. Through several infertility treatments, we ended up having two babies via IVF. And we did get pregnant and carry two full term my last baby. Through all of that, we both have lost the desire for intimacy. But my desire has since returned, but my husband's has not. I don't know if it's a medical issue or not. We do know there are some things that are going on that need to get corrected, but he doesn't have much of a drive. What are the best ways to combat this?
Jamie, thank you so much for your question and for calling in. And I also appreciate so much something that you said. It just stands out to me so much that you talked about, we know some things are going on and we know they need to be corrected. Tells me that you're working at this together.
Yeah.
That you're in this together, which is huge. So I know this is more than likely a very tender topic, but I'm thankful that you're reaching out to just get some advice. But Jamie, first and foremost, what I want to encourage you with is don't personalize what's happening. To me, it sounds like you're digging underneath the symptomology of a low sex drive. So I praise you for that. But sometimes there's that little voice inside that's going, see, yeah, he's lost interest in me. He's no longer attracted to me. And that's common amongst both husbands and wives, yeah. But especially speaking wife to wife, I could understand if that is present, like that little voice is saying that to you. But I just encourage you to continue to go back, what is true about me and what's true about him and what's true about our marriage.
Yeah, and I appreciate that because you're right. It's easy to jump to conclusions, to fill in the answers and to personalize that. I know, Aaron, when we had Taylor, our oldest daughter, mm-hmm. it was a weird time for me. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we had Taylor relatively early mm-hmm. in our marriage. And
1 month. Yeah. She was 1 month old on our second anniversary. Yeah. Yes.
And so, I mean, I was just getting used to be a husband. Now uh-huh. I had to get used to being a father. And so.
And you were in graduate school.
Yeah. So just so much going on.
Yes. Stress. And we moved twice and yeah. lots going on.
So, Jamie, I would encourage you, maybe the question is to ask him what it's been like for him since your baby was born. Mm. I remember looking back on that, for me, that new role and all those new responsibilities, I just felt so overwhelmed. Aaron, to your point, I mean, there was a lot more going on. I was just so overwhelmed that I know that impacted my sex drive and probably just the frequency of our intimacy mm-hmm.
well,
back then.
You also talked about, I remember during that season, about just stress.
Yeah.
Because you were in a doctoral program yeah. trying to, you know, prove that you had what it takes to make it through something that difficult and rigorous.
Yeah.
And so the stress definitely impacted you.
Yeah. And so, I mean, our quality time together was suffering, obviously. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had a brand new baby, emotional changes for you and for me mm-hmm. going on. You know, Aaron, honestly, I mean, there were times that I had that, just that tinge of jealousy mm-hmm. because you were breastfeeding Taylor. Mm-hmm. There was just a way in which it felt like you were bonding mm-hmm. so well with her that it's like I couldn't compete with that.
Yeah.
And we had some of those conversations. I remember I felt so inadequate as a new dad, not even sure how to change diapers. Remember mm-hmm. that I told you for like, you know, hey, for the first week, I'm going to change every single diaper just because I wanted to feel competent. Uh-huh. But I mean, all that was coming from an insecurity, which all of that then impacted my sex drive. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you had everything that was going on with you. Mm-hmm. And so, Aaron, what I appreciate is you're saying, hey, just assume that it's probably not about her. It's not about mm-hmm. Jamie, you, mm-hmm. but there's probably some other things going on. And I wish that that would have been a very direct conversation that you and I could mm-hmm. have had. Because again, I get we were sleepless and tired and all that, but I wish we could have just said, hey, you know, for both of us, like, what's that been like for you as a new mom, for me as a new dad? And then to tie that into just, you know, our own connection and intimacy and sex and all of that, to go, it's all different now. This is a change. So what do we want that to look like? Mm-hmm. Or what's even possible maybe for the next couple months?
Mm-hmm. Well, and then add in the IVF treatments that they went through. Very, very common to impact a couple's sex life because it becomes very regimented and a lot of the spontaneity is lost. And so I would talk about that as well, kind of like you're saying, Greg, to go, you know, what was that like for you?
Just talk that, just have those conversations instead of jumping to conclusions. That's really how, Jamie, you guys can be fighting for your sex life and for your relationship during this changing season that you guys are going through. So we so appreciate the question.
Absolutely.
Well, our second question comes from Danny. So let's listen to the voicemail that she sent in.
Hi, Greg and Aaron. My name is Danny, and I'm calling in about my marriage. My husband and I have been together for 10 and a half years, married for just about five. We have an infant child, and my husband revealed that he had some sexual abuse when he was very young. He doesn't remember too many details, but what he does remember sounds pretty awful. And I'm calling because I want to know how I can best support and connect with my husband. There's a lot there, and I think that perhaps it's impacted our sex life, which we don't have too much of. I also think perhaps it's impacted his faith in God, which has been a struggle for him. I think he needs to pursue individual counseling, and I just want to be able to support him as his wife.
Danny, thank you so much for calling in, and I so appreciate your willingness to go, I want to support my husband and I want to get advice on how to best do that, because this is definitely a vulnerable, tender thing that your husband is walking through. The fact that he revealed to you that he's discovering sexual abuse says a lot about how safe he feels with you. Mm-hmm. And that is a great start.
Well, that's probably right if you were to think of all the things that we can do to support our spouse through something like that, creating a safe place that feels like there's no judgment and they're free to say in whatever and just say, hey, I'm here with you. That that is first and foremost the most important part of that.
Well, it lays the groundwork for you can talk to me about anything, including stuff as it's coming up, sexual abuse or past pains and past hurts. So listen without judgment, create that safe place. But I would also begin encouraging and prompting, like, hey, I really do think individual counseling would be a good idea. And if you need help finding someone, you can always call Focus on the Family, 1-800, the letter A, and then Family, F-A-M-I-L-Y. And they will help you actually find a pre-screened counselor in your area, actually a licensed Christian counselor in your area that can support him in his journey of healing. But absolutely such an opportunity to seek healing. I always say when an issue arises, I believe that God is really giving you an entrance ramp into addressing whatever it is, that he has something more, some more growth, some more healing, some more freedom. And it's awesome that he has you, Danny, as his wife to walk alongside him.
Yeah, that's so true. He's so lucky in that way. And Danny, I would just encourage you, just continue to educate yourself and really read up on, for a male, when they go through sexual abuse, what does that mean and look like? And what are some of the challenges? And just keep educating yourself, even around some of the intimacy issues that you're talking about, that that's an area where you want to grow with him is in your sex life. And here's often, though, how our sex life will be impacted by past trauma and sexual abuse and those things. So just really keep digging in and quote unquote earn a PhD kind of in this area so you can really understand what he's going through.
Yeah. I would also, as you approach the tenderness of the topic, asking him, hey, is this okay for me to ask you about this? Or are you okay talking about this? Because if you're not wanting to talk about this, I'm okay. Yeah. I just wanted you to know that I'm here, I'm available. And so really supporting his boundaries around whatever he wants to talk about or doesn't want to talk about, which is going to take patience and gentleness and tenderness, you know, to be very tender walking with him through this. And I want to encourage you, Danny, to take great care of you during this season. Make sure that you are caring for you physically, emotionally, spiritually, intellectually, to make sure that you are so well cared for that you have lots to give during this season. Because who knows? I don't know how this is impacting him fully. And, you know, maybe as he works through this trauma, he may be, you know, less available to really show up for you. I don't know. I don't know how it's impacting him. But the good news is we all are called to care for us. So we have more to pour out to others that God places in our pathway. And he is in your pathway. And I love that you are willing to call in, ask this question. But like Greg said, educate yourself, take care of you amidst this season. Well, thanks to both of you for your questions, and look out for your copies of Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage. And if you're listening today and have any questions for us, please contact us. Click the link in the show notes to leave us a voicemail. And remember, you can always remain anonymous. Thank you for joining us for Crazy Little Thing Called Marriage. We hope that we were able to give you and your spouse some practical tips and tools as you fight for your sex life.
Be sure to like, listen, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And be sure to share this episode with your friends. We want you to have a seat at the table every week as we help equip you and your spouse for a lifelong and satisfying marriage. We want to see you grow spiritually, both as individuals and as a couple, so that you can turn around and invest in another couple to help them build a thriving marriage.
Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again next week about this crazy little thing called marriage.
Is your marriage holding on by a thread? For deep hurt, you need deep healing that only comes from the Lord. And you'll find it at a Focus on the Family Hope Restored Intensive in Michigan. Our licensed Christian counselors will help you and your spouse get to the root of your issues in just 3 to 5 days. And it works. 80% of the couples are still married 2 years after attending. Learn more at HopeRestored.com and talk with a trusted advisor. That's HopeRestored.com.